Welcome to KABU AJ1.
Thank you for having me.
Several weeks ago, you joined me on the Old Mole to talk about your film Diatribes. It was wonderful to see the screening of the film as part of the Cascade Festival of African Films this month.
Yes.
A Diatribe, for those who haven't seen it, it's a loving tribute to Portland-based Ghanaian drummer and educator Obo Adi, who died in 2012. The film also dives into the African movements and sounds that have shaped the style and language of American hip hop. Diatribe showcases Mike Crenshaw and other Portland hip hop artists and creates a dialogue through music and dance to the African continent. So let's talk today about your work and an earlier Portland-based film on hip hop that I was involved in some years back, Moving to the Beat. And some of the parallels with your Diatribe project. So what are your thoughts? You want to maybe start with your take on what Moving to the Beat is about?
Well, it had my homeboy in there, Abdul, who...
Abdul Fofana, co-director.
Abdul Fofana, that's uh-huh. right, that's my co-director. And that is my brother. We were moving to the beat years ago when I first met him. And he would tell me stories that were included in the documentary. And he is an example of someone who came from Sierra Leone. I came from West LA. We got together. And based on stereotypes and ideas that we had about each other before we started talking, this is the friction and tension between America and Africa based on media-driven stereotypes and the things that we're raised to insult each other and that kind of thing.
You mean stereotypes both of people who live in African countries or African immigrants, as well as exactly. urban blacks in this country.
Right, right. So for instance, being referred to as an African is the worst thing that you can be called in America. You take that as an insult and those are fighting words. And for many in America that grew up in the public school systems nationwide, would use that, you're an African. What? Those are fighting words right there. And it's based on media-driven tropes and stereotypes. The only way to break that down is to have conversations and realize that there are way too many more similarities than there are differences. So when I spoke with Abdul and we shared our stories, he had a much rougher go with things and visions that he had seen. And I couldn't compare. I was just like, okay, you win. Okay.
So, coming out of the Sierra Leonean war. And
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And it's not to be taken lightly. So it was the fact that we started to, I loved Moving to the Beat. Let's put it that way. I love Moving to the Beat. And I noticed the similarities. There were many parallels between what the purpose of Diatribe was with your film.
Can you say a bit about that? Kind of that related to that dialogue across differences or finding commonalities across differences that also acknowledge perhaps that there are differences in immigrants coming out of different places in Africa and the trauma and life experience they've had, as well as the trauma and life experience of many American Black youth.
Right. Poverty has a way of getting us some type of solution to get out of the conditions that we're in. And oftentimes the only thing left is expression. So moving our hands and feet to get up out of an oppressed state, if it's through dance and drumming and rhythm and poetry, we have to use these forms of expression because of the hurt and the suffering and the trauma of being in the conditions that we're in. Politics is very important, but for those that are not informed politically, they have to learn how to transform creatively through poetry and rhythm. Those are used as tools of resistance, you know, of expression. So those are the similarities there. Obo, even saying that name is just, I know how he felt. We sat down and we talked about things and he wanted to share stories, but in between the stories, there was the pain from the neglect or the disregard of what his value really is in the community. And due to some of the broken promises that he had experienced from other folks that wanted to do documentaries and interviews and things like that, they didn't have the staying power to go to the end. And it's either them having to figure out a way to escape by giving some type of stereotype on him. There's a poem at the end of the documentary where I say he's either too African or not African enough for America, and he's too Americanized for Africa. Criticism abound all over town, but the only true concern was sound. That was it. That's all that he wanted, and he wanted to just play his drums. He had an album that was called Let Me Play My Drums, and that's how he felt, but he had to deal with the disenchantment of the lack of support and engagement from the community, and he wanted to find somebody that can articulate that in a resisting kind of way.
And in a way, you brought out the resistance in his sound and maybe channel something that, I mean, I had heard him many times, but didn't connect him at all with hip hop, which in Moving the Beat, you know, at one point, Abdul says he likes Moving the Beat because it's brutally honest.
Right.
brutally honest. And right. There is, I think, an aggressive in your face, I'm not going to tone down my words.
Right.
Aspect to hip hop that has connected it with forms of insurgency, forms of rebellion that Oba Adi was not connected in most people's minds with Black liberation. Can you say a little bit about, I mean, you were trying to bridge that divide, but there maybe is an irreducible difference between some aspects of hip hop and Oba Adi's style.
Right. High life. High life was the style, that super fast.
So that's called high life?
Right. High life is that highly charged, rapid fire drumming that you hear. And that is a reflection of the running, the escaping, the fighting. You see, it's like a war call. It's time, like taps. This would be the equivalent of being in battle, getting ready to get in and get down. So his connection with Mike Crenshaw, when we talk about resistance, when we talk about hip hop and lyricism and strong masculinity, you put Mike Crenshaw there. And that's where that initial connection had come with him, because he's going to get everything that he wants when it comes to that strong high lifestyle lyricism, because that's what Mike Crenshaw is.
Are you saying there are ways of listening to Oba Adi's drumming that you have to learn how to listen to it, because there's a call in it as well?
Right. So we go to the pre-show of the performance at Hollywood Theater. Alex Adi, Okule, the rest of the brothers there.
That was wonderful, by the way.
And it's wonderful because of what? Because that drum is vibrating within your heart. You hear it. And it syncopates with your own heartbeat, right? And it makes you feel something. You don't know what it is, but it makes you feel the way. It makes you smile. It makes you tap your foot. It makes you snap your fingers. And this is a cosmic connection that comes from the root. This is the ancient African oral tradition. And to be able to have that reverberate in a room, be it a theater, an amphitheater, a stage, on a corner or in the village, this is the expression that brings us to a point of being able to understand what it is to be connected within.
And all movements require that kind of calling to wake up, be alive, be together. I wanted to touch more, have you respond to a theme you just fleetingly mentioned a bit ago on masculinity. And when I put up a lot of the support for several of the trips of that team to go to Freetown, and I said to the crew and the team, I said, I want to see some women when you come back. I don't want to only see men. And I said, I know there's some great guys there doing this work, but I want you to find women hip hop artists. And they did. And they talked about that. I don't know if you remember that theme, but I think it expanded hip hop for a lot of the young women who've seen that film to relate to it as a kind of subversive notion of femininity or womanhood, as well as rebellious masculinity. Can you say anything about that theme?
Women are warriors too. As a matter of fact, women are the first warriors. They have to go through the process of childbirth. That's war. there's lots of resistance, blood. There's
having to be comfortable with the raw side of life.
You speak from experience, you know.
Yeah. Well, you may not know this, but Moving the Beat started out of a film where I interviewed and followed and filmed many of the mothers of these young people, Abdul's mother, looking at women's perspectives on the Sierra Leonean Civil War, bringing women's voices to problems of warfare. And it was called Diamonds, Guns, and Rice. My first film that I did with my son when he was in high school. And it's also on my website. But when we were showing that, including at the Cascade Festival of African Films, there were a lot of young immigrants who said, our experience is different from our mothers. We have a different take on things. And so the Moving the Beat came out of an intergenerational dialogue, basically, among Black parents and children and some gatherings and immigrant Black children and their parents on how to make sense of the world through music and older people trying to understand hip hop and being less afraid of it. Because initially, many of these mothers and fathers were afraid of hip hop and their kids becoming Americanized in the wrong way. So it was kind of an educational experience all the way around. And so we might continue with something on cross-cultural and cross-generational dialogue.
We still didn't talk about the soundtrack. There's 32 tracks on this soundtrack, and everything that you're sharing right now is part and parcel was comprised of both volumes of the soundtrack. It's Oboe's story and my story combined, because the documentary just was not enough. Oboe needs to be fleshed. His entire story needs to be fleshed out. The musical stage production that we saw bits and pieces of needs to be fleshed out. My connection and what I was trying to do historically, showing the connection of African contribution to the evolution of hip hop dance through the use of 20s and 30s archival footage from the Nicholas Brothers and Berry Brothers, that needs to be fleshed out. The purpose is, when we lack resource, we still have to find a way to get to the end, and then we will adjust on the fly in the future, because that's what it is. This is what happens when we plant seeds. There's going to be weeds, there's going to be bad flowers, but we have to make sure that we till the soil and get that proper light, that sun, that photosynthesis going on. And that's what we saw on February 4th. But there's still so much more to do. So if I could say a little bit of what I would like to see.
What would you like to see next?
What I would like to see next is that any listener or any viewer that is watching this right now, I would like for you to identify your strength or your contribution to help push this movement. This is not just a documentary we're talking about. We're talking about a movement that comprises of education and entertainment. So we're going to be able to get into the educational system and still provide something that is healthy and of historical significance. You see, we want to teach people the connection of where the rhythm came from.
That's also joyful and pleasurable to watch, which I think that was a guiding idea for both Diatribe and Moving the Beat, that they not come through as after school specials.
Right.
You know, they're fun to watch. And, you know, there were some teachers at that screening on Friday who clearly were interested in taking your project to the schools. So let's return to that in a later program.
That's right, Dr. Hocken.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay, Dr. One. We will continue with this. Well, thank you so much for being with us today and for your beautiful film, such a tribute to Oboe Addie and the Portland crew of hip hop artists and your own work that continues in LA. And we look forward to having you back on the show. And thank you for your comments on Moving to the Beat as well.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, K-Boo. This is my second home. I love everybody on the staff, and I will be back. I will continue to be back until you say you've been here enough. Please don't keep coming here. I think we've covered everything. And I'll say, no, we didn't. We'll never cover everything. I'm coming back again.
West Africa. There's a beat inside of each of us, and we all have to listen to that beat. And this is something bigger than just hip hop. This is something that we all need to listen to and make a conscious effort to move across boundaries, move across racial stereotypes, move across sexism, and make a move to make a change, to reach out. We can change this world one step at a time if we listen to that beat that's inside of each one of us.
That was a clip from the documentary film Moving to the Beat, available on Vimeo and talked about just previously in the interview between Jan Hawken and AJ1.